This is Dr. Richard Chiroff dictating an interview for Dr. Teicher's project on the history of the University of Wisconsin. I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on September 26, 1937. I grew up exclusively in the city of Milwaukee, attending schools in that community. Attending the public schools in that community throughout, I was a graduate of Solomon Juno High School in 1955, and was a the classic valedictorian at that school. My father, Peter Chiroff, was a draftsman for the Alice Chalmers Manufacturing Company, and my mother worked at various jobs off and on during the Second World War and the years thereafter. For all of my childhood, my father's mother, a non-English speaking woman of Macedonian descent, lived with us. Chief inspirations amongst my family were my mother and my father. I was an only child, and the stressed importance of doing the best that you could in any task that you undertook, and as well having empathy for the people who were less fortunate than we were, was a constant prod provided primarily by my father, but reinforced on every occasion by my mother. A specific recollection which comes to mind is the fact that during the course of family auto trips and vacations, it would be my father's expressed really need, I think is the most adequate word, to take me, usually alone with him, to impoverished areas of communities which we may be visiting, and impress upon me the fact that human beings who were exactly the same as we were lived under these conditions, and that it was a tragedy within our society that such should be the case. Because of what I suspect were a combination of financial problems and as well perceived impending disciplinary problems relating to the young people that I was, quote, hanging with, end quote, moved from the south side of the city of Milwaukee to the area on the west side near the Alice Chalmers Manufacturing Company when I was about to enter sixth grade. And in retrospect, I see this as a physical move which probably led me into the path of academic achievement, which I carried with me for the rest of my educational years. Primary influences in high school were by my principal, a gentleman named Elias Lane, L-A-N-E, and a mathematics and Latin teacher whose name was Asher, A-S-H-U-R, Ball, B-A-L-L. When I expressed interest in entering the field of medicine as an ultimate career, a clear memory which occurs to me now is that a teacher whose name I have forgotten advised me that if I planned on becoming a practicing and successful and practicing physician in the city of Milwaukee, I would close quotes have to end quote attend medical school at either Marquette University or the University of Michigan, as all of the successful doctors in the community had done so. During the course of my high school years, I had the opportunity to visit the campus in Madison, usually once a year for a college football game, and for my junior and senior years during the times of the Madison West Relays and the state championship track and field meet. My first impressions, first and lasting impressions of the campus as a vital and active place were sustained on each of these visits, and I suspect that I had determined to attend the University of Wisconsin in Madison sometime during my junior or senior years in high school. This decision was made all the easier by the fact that I was awarded a Kemper Knapp Scholarship by the University of Wisconsin, and in addition, was fortunate enough to obtain a scholarship from the Alice Chalmers Manufacturing Company. These monies, along with what would now be called work-study jobs, provided me with sufficient funds to complete my undergraduate education. It almost seems laughable at this stage to recall that tuition for in-state residents at that time was $75 a year, and that included a season football ticket. Even in my first year in medical school, as I recall, the tuition was approximately $185 or $200 a semester. Needless to say, these statistics are staggering in light of today's numbers. As a result of these scholarships which I had obtained, it was virtually possible for me to attend school with summer job earnings and the scholarship monies. In regards to my residences while attending University of Wisconsin, I initially lived with, during my freshman year, I and a former high school classmate, Thomas Koenig, K-O-E-N-I-G, currently the Reverend Thomas Koenig, a Lutheran minister in the Fox River Valley area, and also a past captain of the University of Wisconsin cross-country team, and fellow, quote, runner, end quote, as I was in high school. We shared a room in a private residence at 1919 Keyes, K-E-Y-E-S Avenue, fairly close to the stadium, as we both had track and field practice every night after classes, and it was much easier to go back to that residence. I'm still not quite clear whether our not being able to get into the dormitories was a matter of procrastination on our part, or whether dorm rooms were simply not available. I somehow think it was the latter. In any event, Tom and I usually ate at the old Breeze Terrace cafeteria. A result of this living arrangement, however, was that Tom and I were relatively isolated from the remainder of the campus community, and it required significant effort to participate in most campus-related events. During my second semester of my freshman year, I rushed social fraternities, and upon the recommendation of a gentleman whom I knew in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I pledged to the social fraternity Theta Delta Chi, and I moved into the fraternity house in my sophomore year. In fact, I lived in the fraternity house at 144 Langdon Street for both my sophomore and junior years. Theta Delta Chi at that time was a extremely active fraternity, both athletically and socially. We had a large number of members of the University of Wisconsin varsity crew as brothers in the fraternity, and also members of the golf team and track team. The end result of this was that there were many very good athletes in the house, and as I recall, we won the so-called Badger Bowl for fraternities the year before I joined, and I think the year after, but I'm not certain about that. Organized social activities were pretty much along the lines of those which fraternities engaged in that time. I do not remember any specific social events except for the various kinds of costume parties and beer parties. Usually on the Friday afternoon, as I recall, a sorority and fraternity would have a beer party together. Another recollection was that there would be a formal dance each spring up in the Wisconsin Dells area. And since my daughter currently attends the University of Wisconsin in Madison, I am aware of the fact that this tradition continues at the Theta Delta Chi house, since she's currently dating a member of that fraternity. My daughter has also advised me that there is a picture of the fraternity from 1957 posted in the library of the fraternity house, and that some humor has been derived by many individuals upon being told that her father was in fact a member of the fraternity at that time. Having had fairly unremarkable cuisine during my freshman year, the food at the Theta Delta Chi fraternity house was really outstanding. There was an elderly woman who was the full-time cook. Her name was Rose. Perhaps besides her general kindness, the outstanding memory which I have of her is that on one occasion when Wisconsin was playing a rival Big Ten school and she was told who the opponent was, she commented, "Poo-poo Purdue," and then went about her ways in the kitchen. During my senior, or during my junior year, I served as a waiter and got my food free as a result of that. After 3 years in a pre-medical track at Wisconsin, it was possible to obtain a so-called Bachelor of Science in Medicine degree, and then and thereafter enter medical school if you were fortunate enough to be accepted in what would normally be your fourth undergraduate year. I was lucky enough to have this happen. And during my first year in medical school, I lived with three other medical students, Dick Geline, G-E-L-I-N-E, Mark Cohen, M-A-R-C-C-O-H-E-N, and Alan Bensman, B-E-N-S-M-A-N. These individuals are now practicing respectively as an orthopedic surgeon in the Chicago suburban area, an allergist dermatologist in Madison, Wisconsin, and a physical medicine rehabilitation specialist in the Minneapolis region. An interesting sideline to this living arrangement was, comma, the fact that the three individuals whom I have named were all of the Jewish faith, and I was not. Even to this day, when we meet, I am reminded of the fact that while looking for apartments to share, I was the one who responded first and most vocally to a proclamation by one of the elderly ladies that was renting apartments that we were, quote, all nice Jewish boys, end quote, with a loud and affirmative yes when they were hesitant to do so. Incidentally, we did not end up taking that apartment. At the end of one of the problems which arose during that year was the fact that Mark Cohen kept a strict kosher kitchen, and the remaining three of us frequently succeeded in upsetting him to various degrees because of our lack of respect for his preferences. During the summers of my undergraduate years, I usually worked as at two jobs, one being as a meter reader for the Wisconsin Electric Power Company in Milwaukee, and the other as a vendor at the Milwaukee County Stadium. continued with this latter job on an as-able basis while in medical school. After my first year of med school, however, I worked at the United States Veterans Administration Hospital in Wood, Wisconsin, as a psychiatric nurse's aide. At the end of that summer, I applied for and was accepted as a house fellow at the pharmacy social fraternity called ROCAI. In retrospect, I'm not at all certain as to whether I was a very good house fellow or not. I somehow feel that I was too intent upon my medical school studies, but it may well be that my appraisal is not correct. An ongoing problem, quite literally, was that I was in the process of falling in love and behaving as though I were, and I married a graduating senior after my second year of medical school. This marriage ultimately ended in a divorce during my internship year after I left medical school in Madison. But for the third year in medical school, my wife and the woman whom I had wed and I lived in a small apartment at the Madison General Hospital where I served as a, quote, extern, end quote, throughout my entire junior year. My senior year in medical school, we had an apartment on either Gorham or Dayton Streets, I do not recall. In regards to my course of study during the undergraduate years at the University of Wisconsin, I did exceedingly well academically, maintaining a 4.0 average during my first 2 years at the institution. I was invited to join Phi Beta Kappa, or having been elected to Phi Eta Sigma and granted sophomore high honors, I was elected to Phi Beta Kappa during my junior year, and at that time it was an achievement of which I was exceedingly proud. I have recollections of intense emphasis upon science courses and laboratory work, particularly in chemistry and physics. A specific recollection relating to physics was that I allowed my advisor to talk me into taking a physics class for physics and chemistry majors instead of the course which routinely was elected by pre-medical students, and that single course was probably the hardest academic course that I've ever taken in my life. We had night labs in Sterling Hall, usually from 7 to 9, at least 2 days a week. A number of courses also had Saturday labs. I remember being aware of the intense competition amongst individuals on a pre-medical track, and because my grades were so solid, I had really no doubts in my mind that I would be accepted to medical school. In fact, I contradicted the teacher about whose quote I had previously given and did not apply to any other medical schools except the University of Wisconsin. The ability to enter that school after 3 years of undergraduate study and the financial savings thereby was, of course, a major impetus for me at that stage in my life. Outstanding undergraduate memories include political science courses with Professor Leon Epstein and the history of United States foreign policy with Professor William Appleman Williams. I will never forget Dr. Williams, who incidentally was a graduate of the United States Naval Academy, announcing on his first day in that particular history course that this course is going to be taught from the point of view of economic determinism as the major driving force for United States foreign policy, and that any individuals who were not willing to accept that as the case should probably transfer to another history course, because there was not going to be any alteration from that point of view. I loved it, and to this day I am probably a bit sorry that I did not pursue my interests in political science and history, which would have led me on a career track far different from that which I ultimately pursued. Another specific recollection was the awakening to the intensity of study in the university compared to my previous experiences in high school. A specific recollection is after my first year, a calculus class, which the final exam consisted of three questions, of which we were to do only two of the problems. Undergraduate activities which I pursued included running on the track and field team as a freshman, but not thereafter. It became obvious that my skills as a runner were far below those of almost everyone else whom I was running against. Having mentioned Tom Koenig as a friend and his continued athletic career at Wisconsin, I will also say that another former high school companion and runner was Daniel McKinney, that's M-C capital K-I-N-N-E-Y, who transferred to University of Wisconsin from Milwaukee State Teachers College and ultimately won the Big Ten 1,000-yard indoor championship. Dan is currently a teacher and coach in the Milwaukee area. Positive recollection of the track and field, the year in track and field, was of a fine assistant coach whose name was Tom something or other, tall, dark-haired man. And it was during that freshman year that the training facility next to the stadium was opened, and we were among the first people to use that facility, which I believe has been renamed in honor of former Coach McLean. At the Theta Delta Chi fraternity house, there were two brothers, real brothers, not fraternity brothers, named Consigny, C-O-N-S-I-G-N-Y, Tom and Ned. I think that one of them is an attorney in the Madison area. And both of these gentlemen were active in the Haresfoot Club. They convinced a number of us of the younger fraternity brothers to become active, and I was fortunate enough to act in or to participate in the production of the Haresfoot Club, Call Me Madam. We toured the state of Wisconsin playing one night stands in many areas, and then played the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and then came back to Madison and played the Union Theater for a week. This is probably one of the highlights of my undergraduate education at the University of Wisconsin. It instilled in me a tremendous respect for really how hard and demanding the life in such an endeavor and occupation must be, the moving constant pressure of performing, whether you felt like it or not, gave me a greater respect for individuals who live and work in the theater and the entertainment industry as a career. Your question regarding publications is really an excellent one, because my time at the University of Wisconsin was coincident with and somewhat after the heyday of Senator Joseph McCarthy's representation of our state. The Cardinal was looked upon as a extremely radical and potentially communistic, quote, rag, end quote. I knew only a few people who worked on the staff of the newspaper, but I guess because my political orientation was certainly somewhat left of center growing up in the home, growing up in my own home, I had tremendous empathy and positive feelings about the Daily Cardinal. I thought that it was a true voice of the students, and read it on every occasion that I could. Leisure time was usually spent during the time that I was in the social fraternity in activities which related to that fraternity, participating in various athletic endeavors in the name of the fraternity was relatively important to me at that time. Hangouts included the college club, that's capital K in both words, the varsity bar, Paisan's pizza restaurant, the Brat House on State Street, the capital V, capital pub. Further socialization as an undergraduate tended to evolve around the Theta Delta Chi fraternity. I remember how much of an envy those of us who lived in fraternity house had for brothers who had apartments in various apartment houses around the Langdon Street end of town. It always seemed like they enjoyed social advantages, comma, particularly when it came to openness of relationships with young women. And then when it came time to have an apartment during my freshman year in medical school, it seemed that that wasn't as great a shakes as it seemed to be. I was not terribly active in any religious groups on the campus. I had been a member of the Serbian Eastern Orthodox Church up until that point in my life, and such a church was not available on the campus. I therefore attended the Episcopal Church on an infrequent and intermittent basis. Campus politics were there was an awareness because I was aware of politics in general, but I did not affiliate myself with any political efforts until 1960, when I became very active in Senator Hubert Humphrey's campaign for the presidency. I passed out flyers and invoked the kinds of negative comments against the upstart senator from the state of Massachusetts. And yet I remember hearing Senator Kennedy speak at the medical school and being very impressed once I encountered him. I was disappointed when he defeated Mr. Humphrey for the Democratic nomination. In regards to campus attitudes concerning alcohol, I think you should be aware of the fact, or that I think that you are aware of the fact, that the legal drinking age in Madison at that time was 18 years, and that virtually every dorm and fraternity had beer, quote, on tap, end quote, all of the time. There was quite a bit of cigarette smoking, and I'm really not aware of the use of drugs beyond that in the individuals that I hung with. Sexual revolution, to use your terminology, had not reached Madison at that point. Your format now takes me back to the question of athletics, and I think I expounded upon that as much as I really need to. I really had a very inglorious career at Wisconsin for 1 year, and that was it. From the spectator standpoint, football was the biggest sport on the campus. During my sophomore year in medical school, the Wisconsin team went to the Rose Bowl. I went on that trip as a student. We took a train from Milwaukee to Los Angeles. It was sponsored in part by the Schlitz Brewing Company, and the ride out there was really one of the biggest parties that I had ever been to in my life. Wisconsin lost that game to the University of Washington rather resoundingly, as I recall. That would have been in 1960, I think at the end of the 59 season, and in 60, or at the end of the 60 season. Yeah, it must have been 1960. The ride back home on the train was a totally depressing experience, and pretty much all of us wished that we hadn't gone out there in the first place, so when it came time to go back home again. Probably the second, quote, biggest, end quote, sport at the University of Wisconsin at the time was college boxing, and I was at the school, in fact, was on call the night that the University of Wisconsin boxer Charlie Moore, M-O-H-R, was fatally injured in the course of boxing in the NCAA tournament at Camp Randall Fieldhouse. That was a very sobering event. It did, as you know, put an end to boxing as an intercollegiate sport, and is a specific memory to this day. There was no college hockey at that time, and women's athletics were, I think, pretty much non-existent. Men's crew was also a big sport, and as I indicated, there were a number of rowers in my social fraternity. Oh, that brings to mind a specific recollection. Registration at the University of Wisconsin at that time was in the Old Red Gym down on Langdon Street. And the way that registration was set up was that at the end of registration, virtually every student had to pass single file through a very narrow hallway and doorway. And stationed at that doorway was a assistant coach of the crew, and on the door frame there was a mark made at either 6 feet 2 or 6 feet 4 inches, and any male coming out through that door who was as tall as the mark on the door frame was pulled aside and recruited on the spot as a possible member of the University of Wisconsin crew. This is a story which I not only can confirm but actually witnessed for myself and knew to be true, because frequently some of my fraternity members would be assigned to go and watch the mark on the wall when one of the assistant coaches wasn't able to attend. Norm Sonju, S-O-N-J-U, that was the name of the crew coach, and he had a hard and rigorous program with resulting good results, or with good results. A lot of criticism at that time was leveled towards the basketball coach, Bud Foster. Basketball was not really much of a sport. As I indicated, boxing was the dominant winter sport at that time. In order to appreciate and discuss your item number 10 about discrimination versus inclusion, I think a couple of preemptory comments have to be made. Number one, during these undergraduate years and the time of the Eisenhower administration, there was an aura of danger or perceived danger by militant blacks, particularly, who existed as campus personalities, and they were, I think, treated not only unfairly but extremely harshly. The majority of the black students that attended the University of Wisconsin were, as best I could tell at that time, and as best I was aware, there as athletes who were expected to perform. I knew friends of mine on the track team who fell in that circumstance. I was aware of discrimination at the level of both the social fraternity that I was a member of and other social fraternities as well. Probably that factor alone led me to be less active in fraternity life than I would have been had I not perceived such discrimination as ongoing. There was certainly discrimination at the social level for Jewish students. There simply were no questions asked as to whether it was proper or improper for Jewish fraternities and non-Jewish fraternities to exist or coexist. The question never arose about blacks entering social fraternities because, quite frankly, they were either not invited to rush on most occasions or simply didn't show up. I wish that I would have been more sensitive to the issue to be able to make some cogent comments about discrimination directed at women. My sensitivity towards this issue has been heightened by the fact that I am the father of three daughters and am aware of some of the kinds of difficulties which they have encountered in growing up. Discrimination towards out-of-state students existed primarily on the basis of the fact that many of the students from the, quote, the East Coast, end quote, were Jewish, and they suffered from the duality of their geographic and religious difference from most of the students at the University of Wisconsin. On-campus personalities, the Dean of Men was a man named Theodore Zillman, a delightful and open man whom I came to know a little bit because of the scholarships that I had been awarded. The president of the university was E.B. Fred. I had no contact whatsoever with him. During the time that I was in medical school, Dr. LVM ascended to the presidency, and he was a leader who was obviously respected by all the faculty, but pretty much stayed aloof from matters relating to the student body. I cannot recall specific, quote, characters, end quote. I am sure that were someone to ask me if I remembered thus and such or such so-and-so, I would probably say, oh yes, certainly, but perhaps my inability to recall things impairs me in that fashion. Going on to medical school, I had felt that I wished to pursue a career in either pharmacy or medicine when I was in high school, when I saw that my academic achievements were such that medical school was a realistic goal. I am fairly certain that I decided to pursue that course probably when I was a junior or a senior in high school. My main reason for attending the University of Wisconsin Medical School, I've outlined, was the fact that I could save at least a year's worth of undergraduate costs and fees. And the reputation which Wisconsin's medical school had at that time was probably being an average school. Initial turn-ons on entering medical school were by the prospect of learning how to correct and alter the course of disease, both physical and mental, and the sense of excitement which went along with the prospect of receiving such training and education. I had a severe turn off to biochemistry during my freshman year in medical school, and in fact nearly failed that course. I was granted a D primarily on the basis of having kept a neat laboratory notebook, so I was told. The wake-up call that that provided, that poor grade provided to me, made me work all the more hard during and take far more seriously the need to learn as many facts as possible. I think what happened was that the way biochemistry was taught, it was primarily a rote teaching, and given the educational approach that I had received as an undergraduate, particularly in non-science courses, I rebelled against being taught any material in that rigid fashion, and having my own sense of learning and accomplishment squelched so completely. As I indicated, I nearly paid for this dearly, and adopted an attitude which I carried on to my later medical career, particularly when I was in academic medicine, that when it came to medical school curriculum, the safest approach is to assume that everything is, quote, relevant, end quote. One simply cannot know when a fact that is being crammed down one's throat may turn up at some point in the future in a potential life-saving or life-threatening situation. Good courses included an exposure to Dr. William Fay of the Department of Psychiatry, Dr. Ben, and really outstanding individuals in the Department of Pediatrics, including Dr. David Smith, Dr. Nathan Smith, Dr. Charles Lobeck, all of whom went on to attain preeminence in their fields at both the University of Wisconsin and elsewhere. The stimulation provided by Dr. Henry Okagaki and Dr. Herman Werke excited me about orthopedic surgery, the field of medical specialization which I ultimately engaged in. Surgery in general was a quote, turn-on, end quote, even at the level that we were asked to function. I have distinct recollections of being impressed that a number of the faculty were what I would characterize as arrogant, and that these individuals also maintained an air of aloofness from the patients that they came in contact with, usually leaving all real care of the patient's emotional and physical needs to the house staff working under them. I learned from this experience to guard against such arrogance and aloofness, and I hope that while I was an actively treating physician, I succeeded in doing so. The importance of realizing how much we are all similar was impressed upon me when one of the members of the faculty was stricken with a heart attack and was admitted to the coronary care unit. and lay adjacent to an individual who was known to be a ne'er-do-well and perhaps a town drunk in Madison. After a day or two, a growth of facial hair and wearing one of those god-awful hospital gowns, you quite literally cannot tell who is a professor and highly respected from an individual who is looked upon with great derision by our society. Being sick or ill, in fact, was impressed upon me as being the great equalizer of all humankind. I've never been much to be impressed by the argument of the pressures of education or training changing an individual. It seems to me that these kinds of arguments are specious, and that when one is in a period of education or training, one has to endure certain kinds of stresses and strains as necessary in order to move along to the next stage. Individuals who fail to do so in medical school simply didn't move along to the next stage. During the period of time that I was in medical school, I think it's called the Bardeen wing opened up, and there was an improvement in the facilities. In general, I have no quarrels with the laboratory equipment or other off continuing the dictation on the interview for Dr. Teicher. We are at the point where I am discussing my experience in medical school. I had just mentioned that the facilities seemed entirely adequate. I am not certain whether my class was the first one that had their basic science courses over in the new building, but I think that it might be the case. I somehow remember my an older fraternity brother who was only a year or two ahead of me having his anatomy, gross anatomy, in old science hall, but I did not have to spend any time in that building. After graduation from the University of Wisconsin, I took an internship at the University of Pittsburgh Hospitals in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I spent 8 months on pediatrics during that internship and 2 months each on OBGYN and surgery. That was a particularly stressful period of time as my wife became ill, and ultimately our relationship deteriorated to the point where she sought a divorce, and such was granted before the year was out. I was under the direction of Dr. Richard Day at the Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I have no idea how I was evaluated. If my job had been inadequate, I suspect that I would have been told. The internship experience was a good one, and probably a major aspect of it was that I realized that my skills and training at the University of Wisconsin certainly had positioned me to be the equal of individuals who graduated from more prestigious medical schools, and that I was, in fact, quote, competitive, end quote, with them in regard to my ability to function as a young physician and care for people who came under my care. So that I, having heard that my medical school training was not among the best in the country, I am convinced that it served me very, very well for the years as a physician which lay ahead of me. In returning to your questions about the period of time that I spent in medical school, things were financed during the time that I was at St. Mary's by the free room and board which was supplied there, and the fact that the woman that I was married to was employed as well. My parents also supplied monies to me on an as-needed basis, given the remarkable increases in costs of attending medical school, which are now prevalent and have been for years. I was fortunate enough to be able to graduate from medical school without the encumbrance of overwhelming debt. In reflecting upon the career goals which I had, they were certainly attainable and, in my opinion, enhanced and absolutely made possible by the education which I received at the University of Wisconsin. I credit that institution for literally making me into the man and person that I am today. I feel as though I am shaped in the mold of the University of Wisconsin and my early years. During the period of time that I was an active practicing physician, both as a teacher and as a private practitioner, both as an academician and as a private practitioner, I have often reflected upon the fact that without the education provided to me by the University of Wisconsin, it would not be possible for me to continue to serve individuals who came under my care or under my educational purview. Since I have become disabled and it has been necessary for me to give up the active practice of medicine, I am perhaps even more willing to acknowledge the greatness of the influence which the University of Wisconsin has had upon my life than I was while it was an ongoing process. Thank you very much for accepting these comments. I hope that they are of some use to you, and I really do apologize for having been delinquent in returning this tape to you. Good day.